Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
I want to get to these drone stories that have resurfaced and maybe a possible explanation as to what has been going on over the last couple of months before they went on this little restriction and the ban, but now they've lifted it and the sightings have started to skyrocket again. I'm going to tie that into the New York Times COVID story with the CIA coming up, but we'll do that after the news. Round number two at 7:05. Let's find out what's going on out there in society. The great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale & Company News Live, this 7 a.m. hour, sponsored by Meineke. We are here Monday morning, January 27th, and it looks like 41 degrees for your high today. So we're talking about, obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles crushing the Commanders, and now we know this morning that we'll be facing the Chiefs. But there is some news to report as far as, not anything major, I would say, as far as sometimes these celebrations post-victory in cities can result in riots or multiple arrests. I don't see anything of that, anything close to that, but we do have one guy recovering from being stabbed. Apparently that started as some kind of an argument outside Lincoln Financial Field that followed the Eagles' win over the Commanders in the NFC Championship game last night. So this happened South 11th Street, 3600 block around there, and a 25-year-old man, 35-year-old guy, they start some kind of an argument. And then the younger guy was then stabbed in his right leg, taken to the hospital. He's in stable condition. Police are not releasing much more information as far as charges, except that they do have a suspect's identity in that one. And then the other story that's still being investigated and still making headlines this morning is that we do know that several people were injured, no life-threatening injuries, but this happened when a crowd was celebrating in North Philadelphia last night. About 9:30 to 10 p.m., North Broad, Spring Garden, large crowds of police, obviously large crowds of individuals celebrating the victory. In this one, they say that even though they do have a suspect in custody, that this individual does not appear to be any kind of a situation where it's like a terrorist situation where somebody was driving in on purpose to harm people. So we're still trying to find out exactly what they think happened there. But that it was more of a crash. The police are calling this more of a car crash, and the Eagles fans were all in the streets. So we're still trying to parse through that one and figure out what happened.
You think it's bad now, or maybe we're lucky that it's only as minimal as it is. Imagine what it's going to be like on Monday, February 10th, if they win.
Yeah, I think truthfully, I think that what they think is somebody was a little got behind the wheel and maybe they were liquored up.
Oh, you think?
You know what I mean?
After 18 Miller Lights?
And so not really a terrorist, but somebody who should not have been driving.
There's a video of, Phil, I don't know if you have it. I just sent it to you. I don't know if you have it yet, of the Eagles fan who fired a gun. Did you see that?
Yeah, and like nobody batted an eyelash, basically.
Yeah, like,
it's amazing.
It's a sin.
It's like, I'm not going to flinch. Yeah. I listen to Dawn every morning at 6:05 and 7:05. This is standard operating procedure.
Roll it, Phil. There we go. Look at that. Man.
I believe that was a gun.
Yeah.
I believe that was a gun. Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was right behind you, dude.
Yeah.
That was four people.
Wow.
4 feet behind you.
Hopefully it was like one of those little low energy BB pistols, like pellet.
I don't know. Play it one more time, Phil. I don't think that was a low energy BB pistol. No. I think that was a gun.
Yeah, that's a
Look
straight
at
up
that.
Handgun, yeah.
There we go.
I don't know, 9mm or something to that effect.
There's a genius for you.
Yeah.
So we have we have a lot of headlines that we've been talking about this morning, and President Donald J. Trump firing those 17 inspectors general for more than a dozen federal agencies. This was what they're calling a Friday night purge, according to a Trump administration official, paving the way for Trump to install his own picks for these independent watchdog roles. And so in this one, there is criticism. A lot of Republicans are being asked about this yesterday, even this morning. And the word that we have from the White House is that there are changing priorities, and that's what led to these positions being, quote, terminated effective immediately. So this was the memo that people received. They received the memo, you're fired memo, but it's a shakeup impacting a broad swath of these federal government agencies, including the Departments of State, Energy, the Interior, Defense, and Transportation. I'll point out to you that a 2022 law requires the White House should provide a rationale for terminating any of these IG posts. And usually I believe they have to have 30 days notice from the White House. That's required by federal law. And that prompted the criticism from even Republicans. And we talked earlier about Chuck Grassley, you know, on the Republican side, as well as Chuck Schumer. So we have these, you know, different senators, different officials who are saying they're either concerned about it, others saying they'll wait to see what the rationale is. And then because they did not give the 30-day notice, will these somehow be reversed? I will say that there's a congressional research service that says the practice has disfavored removal of these IGs during presidential transitions. And this was even going back to 1981 after President Ronald Reagan removed all inspectors general in a very controversial move following his inauguration.
So Trump did not give the 30-day notice and he just kind of jumped the gun, so to speak.
Well, I think that this is, we're going to hear more about this, which is why I wanted to just do a deeper dive into it, because we had mentioned it earlier in all seriousness. So I think that we will see either clarification on this one, but I think that they're going to have to explain it, because there is that 30-day rule. That the 30-day rule was just, I believe, put into place in 2022.
Okay.
So I think there's pushback saying, well, Reagan did this back in 1981. Yeah, Reagan didn't have the law that was put into place in 2022.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So we've got, you know, and by the way, I'll just point out to you, yeah, I know you know this, but Chuck Grassley is the Senate Judiciary Chairman. So he has a lot of power in this, and he seems to be standing with Schumer saying, well, let's take a look at this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And there's some criticism here. It's real. So we'll look at that one. This is Holocaust Remembrance Day. And it's important to point out that President Trump, he has announced a designation of a delegation to Poland. They will attend the commemoration of the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz-Birkenau. And it's today, January 27th. So Steve Witkoff, who maybe you didn't know his name prior to the being the special envoy to the Middle East and the, you know, release of these hostages and that deal that he helped to make and is credited with, the Honorable Steve Witkoff announced as heading this delegation that will be there today, but as well Howard Lutnick, nominee for Secretary of Commerce, obviously Pennsylvania connections with Lutnick. And they will co-lead this delegation today. So you'll see them in the headlines today. Also, Charles Kushner, who is the U.S. ambassador to France, he's the nominee there. And obviously, Ivanka's husband, this is Ivanka's father-in-law.
Okay. So this is Jared's dad.
Jared's dad, famous in New Jersey, as we well know. Kushner is the one that Chris Christie put behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that whole
sure.
background and the reason why Chris Christie will never, ever, although he's teased, to have a position in the Trump administration.
Sloppy Chris Christie.
It'll never happen because of Charles Kushner. Okay?
Yeah, there's a better chance that Chris Christie's a spokesperson for Ozempic.
Stop. So we have this Trump delegation headed now to head this delegation as we think about this huge commemoration, 80 years. We have Trump today is going to meet with House Republicans because, after all, they need unity in the House. They have the unity in the Senate, but the House Republicans, you know, they haven't always gotten along and sang kumbaya today together. So that's an important meeting that Trump will lead off today. What else? We had Trump and First Lady. There's so much going on as far as less than 1 week since the signing in. But we did have on Friday, we had Trump and First Lady Melania. They did their first, conducted their first real trip together since the Trump inaugural for the second term earlier in the week. So they visited two important areas devastated by natural disasters, North Carolina, and then heading out west to talk to California Governor Gavin Newsom, as, of course, we think about the horrible, deadly wildfires that have ravaged California. So Trump promising both regions that they will get federal help. And then, of course, Trump also addressed via video the 52nd annual March for Life rally in D.C. That one we saw Vice President Vance, House Speaker Mike Johnson, Senate Majority Leader John Thune also speaking to that important pro-life event. I will say, not making it, maybe you haven't heard, but Trump signing another executive order that has to do with the Hyde Act and Trump removing some of the federal funding for abortions.
Okay.
So that's also making headlines this morning. Just want to bring that one to you. We are sponsored by Meineke this morning. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Their expert technicians are going to diagnose the problem. Find that location nearest you, Meineke.com. Of course, we're celebrating our Eagles Super Bowl bound.
The Eagles!
And we're out of the Arctic blast. I'll point that out to you. We're in the 40s.
How great was that yesterday? Snow melting. My dog had mud all over his paws. What a great day.
Eagles
carpet
win.
Destroyed.
Yeah, remember, we're not the underdogs anymore. I put on the mantles. We were watching the game. Remember the plastic, like, under the dogs?
Oh, yeah.
Masks?
You remember the dog masks?
So I put it on the mantle.
Yeah.
With those, it's kind of creepy, but we're not the underdogs anymore.
As far as, you mean?
You know what I mean?
Well,
I mean,
Vegas still has us as an underdog.
I was just
going to
say,
like a point.
The Eagles are 100% the underdogs right now.
But we were not yesterday.
But those masks actually work better than KN95 for COVID. So if you want to flatten the curve this year, just wear that old Eagles underdog mask.
I mean, the opening line right now, according to FanDuel, is a point and a half.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I mean, it's not a huge spread.
And all the politicians are going to milk this for the next 2 weeks. Shapiro, Fetterman, Sherelle Parker, they're going to be all over. They'll be on mainstream television on the sports networks these next 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, Mayor Parker came out and was rallying, so we can't play the misspelling from. She did respell.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
She got a mea culpa?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, stop.
Saturday Night Live, 50 years.
Gotta do it. They've got to get some bets going. We got to figure out who's running. The city of Kansas City, the state of Missouri. We have to go through that and get some politician wagers going on. Remember, it was Fetterman and somebody else had a wager for. What was it 2 years ago when the Eagles won the Super Bowl the first time around against the Chiefs? I forget who he had a bet with.
Kenny, wasn't it?
Was it Kenny? It might have been Kenny.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was definitely pre-Sherelle Parker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, she'll be more fun. She'll definitely be more fun than, you know.
She still looks like Tracy Morgan, though.
You shut up.
I can't unsee that.
Stop it.
I cannot unburden myself from seeing that visual. Take a look at it when you get a chance one day.
No. I'm just saying no.
All right. You have a sponsor?
No, that's it. She did it.
I did it.
Oh,
Meineke was the
fault.
Sponsor.
I'm delaying us. What the hell am I doing here? All right. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. And Donald Trump basically saying to the 8,000 troops that Joe Biden dismissed from the military for not being vaccinated, not only are you back in if you want in, but you're given full back pay. That's going to lead us to this CIA story as Mr. Ratcliffe has come out and made some comments about the lab leak. We'll get to that as we continue. And also, what is going on with the return of the drones? I have a theory as to what I think it might be all along, and it kind of ties into COVID. I'll explain on the other side. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand. From Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hegseth and Gnome are in. Bobby Kennedy, Tulsi Gabbard, Cash Patel on the griddle this week. But I thought this was interesting, and I'm actually going to tie three stories together here, kind of all under the umbrella of intelligence and also COVID. This was just during the last segment. It looks like breaking news came across on the Fox News Alert scroll on television. Trump to reinstate, as he said he would do, unvaccinated service members. Service members will be given full back pay. And there were 8,000 plus service members discharged under Joe Biden for failure to get vaccinated for COVID-19, which is just amazing that when we talk about not hitting recruiting goals in the military, in the different branches of our armed forces, we were willing to presumably let go of really talented, qualified, merit-based people in our military and then try to hit quota goals with DEI and communities of marginalized communities. Is that what you want? I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was in the line of fire in combat and you said, Nick, to your right is somebody that's really good, but he didn't get the shot. And to your left is somebody that's, well, maybe 80% of the guy to the right, but that person checks off a box. Who do you feel better about protecting your life in combat? I would probably go with the qualified person who said no to the vaccine. And then over the weekend, not really a news story. I don't know if the best way maybe to describe it is it's a repackaged belief that the CIA and these intel agencies talking about COVID-19, the origins, and the lab leak being a plausible scenario. I strongly believe that's what happened. I don't think it got out by accident. I think it was intentionally released. I have long thought it's a direct creation from a lab, man-made virus, set to derail economies, further agendas, decimate the middle class, test the ability to impose your will as a government on people with mandates and restrictions and reducing populations. And when you talk about China and you look at their history, right, you have a genocide going on. You have, I don't know if China still has a family population limit as far as how many kids you can have, but I know at one point that was a thing. I don't trust the CCP as far as I can throw them. And now the New York Times with the headline, CIA now favors lab leak theory to explain COVID origins. They say the analysis, however, is based in part on a, quote, closer look at the conditions in the high security labs in Wuhan and that province before the pandemic outbreak, according to people familiar with the agency's work. John Ratcliffe, who we know, new director for the CIA, he has long favored the lab leak hypothesis. He said it is a critical piece of intelligence that needs to be understood and that it has consequences for U.S.-Chinese relations. And I think this is important because right now we are still probably in the middle of what they're calling, this goofy quademic of flu, COVID, RSV, norovirus. Then, of course, you throw in, the bird flu. And I don't think it's a matter of if. I do think it's a matter of when another one of these pandemic happens. And we just saw last week, amongst Trump's many actions, withdrawing the United States from the World Health Organization and getting away from that agency that we are paying, I believe the number is $500 million a year, to which other nations of kind of close to the same caliber as the United States are paying $40 million a year. You talk about excessive spending. You talk about DOGE. So this, to me, all ties in. It all makes sense. And I don't want to ever have to go back. And I mentioned, when Dawn mentioned this in the news, and Greg, you brought this up, of what happened the last time around. We talk about free speech and the ability to question and speak out loud what our elected officials that we pay are doing, what they are saying, and what they permit and what they don't permit. And it's just remarkable. Again, you go back to 4 and 5 years ago when we were saying this on Facebook. If you posted a video on Instagram, if you tweeted this under Jack Dorsey's Twitter, it was immediately labeled either misinformation, disinformation. You would be flagged. You would be deplatformed. And your free speech, your rights to question the government on social media and what's going on with a certain administration or a certain agency or an institution like Big Pharma, you were labeled to be a nut job. And here it is. And I actually do believe this. I think the CIA knows I think all of these agencies know the complicit nature of China.
Of course.
100%. And they are scared to say a full admission because that would open the floodgates
yeah.
for people like me with a big mouth. I really believe that.
I agree with you. I think that everybody knows that this came from a lab. Anybody who said that in 2020 was deplatformed or called a conspiracy theorist. Yeah, it's proven correct. I think that this news story now that came out, I said this earlier, I just think it's a rehash of something that really came out before. You know, because what's buried in the article, it says that they think that, you know, it's a low probability, but yeah, it could have come from a lab. But I believe it did, and I think any rational thinking person believes it did. But, you know, there's reasons why they don't want you to know that, and it's China is the number one culprit.
Let me just throw out the last theory that I have, because this ties into the drones. And Trump has said that Susie Wiles is going to update us on what exactly is going on with the drones. They're back in the news again, as the New York Post with a headline, Northeast drone sightings have surged again after the FAA lifts restrictions. The Federal Aviation Administration has officially lifted their ban, and the drones are back. They say, quote, we've received over 100 reports in the past 3 weeks that mention drones across the U.S. This is Christine Kim, spokesperson for Enigma Labs, citing the company's user-generated figures. New Jersey remains a hotbed of drone activity. The New York-based company says the unidentified anomalous phenomena, cataloging iPhone app and interactive maps, received a total of 22,000 sightings in 2024. And they have said, quote, we have been getting more and more reports, including a surge of them last week with 28 additional reports, including one of a floating, color-shifting object over Hoboken, New Jersey, on January 14th. So here's my theory on this, and I want people to kind of connect the dots here. If Trump is willing to come out and release the JFK files, the RFK and the MLK files, this should be a no-brainer. Because in all reality, we are talking about possibly the execution of a sitting president in the United States of America. And if you have the stones to release all of that, as he said, everything will be released. So I infer that is no redactions. And if I get redactions, I'm going to torch Trump. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to roast.
He said no redactions.
He said everything will be released.
Yeah, released. But not no redactions.
Well, then that's not everything released.
No,
you can't have it both ways. No. Everything will be released. No redactions, Trump. No.
Well, look, I don't know what's in there, but when you have a source that might be compromised and they still have family living in this country, you know what I mean?
Like,
I think that they if they release the bulk of it, that you'll get the gist of it. But if there's something in there that they're compromising an agent or now that agent's family, all the, you know, the grandkids or something, they have their own reasons. I can accept a little bit of redaction. That's standard.
If I come to the
not full pages of it.
Well, if I come to the realization that it confirms my belief that the CIA killed Kennedy, and there are some redactions, okay, I'll give you that. But if we're still left here pondering this, well, it's probable, but not likely, or less than, or all this these stupid terminologies like the CIA likes to say. Well, it's what was the thing that you just quoted, Stocker, deep in that article of the New York Times, how they classify the lab leak. Partially likely? What the hell does that mean, partially likely?
I forget what the...
Well, what percentage is that? What is that, like a 35% chance?
I mean, Politico has just... They just put out this morning...
Yeah.
I think it was just this morning, right, that they put out something about the Chinese officials pushing back on this. So they're going back and forth on it.
Here's my thought on this drone thing and what I believe was happening. I think this is the United States government surveilling areas that they might believe could lead to potential bioweapon warfare in this country. The day, Stocker, you mentioned this months ago on the show, maybe not months ago, but weeks ago. We are past the days of flying planes into buildings. Then that drone attack happened with Russia, Ukraine. And you were like, I think you even said, we're at the point where we're going to use drones without people having to, you know, put themselves in harm's way of war. That's what's going to happen. I actually think they are looking. And why do I say it? Because look at the areas. What do other nations, whether they're terrorist organizations or other foreign nations, value hitting areas in mass quantity with big populations of symbolic areas. And what's more symbolic than the New York, New Jersey area for the United States of America? It would not surprise me if they are looking for like bioweapon type warfare, whether it's thermal stuff or radiation or radioactive type things. We're coming off of COVID, which wiped out millions of people. And how do they do it? Upper respiratory disease, right? That's, to me, I think, what they're looking for here. And I'm hoping that Trump and Susie Wiles will let us know, not only about JFK, I don't want redactions, but I want to know what's going on with the drones. And I give Trump the benefit of the doubt that he will come through, because in the first week, he has delivered on what he said. And he has done it with zero Fs given. So I think there's no reason to assume that he won't do it again this time.
Okay, two things. Number one, as far as the Wuhan virus and the lab leak, I think we have to remember that, according to Senator Rand Paul, this was something that the U.S. was complicit in with regard to NIH funding.
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's something that I think that's what I want to know. Who knew what when?
Mm-hmm.
And all the times that Fauci, under oath, said, no, this didn't happen. So I think that's fascinating. As far as, you know, all of these other issues, I just want all of it to be transparent. I am curious as to why, when Trump was president the first time around in, what was it, 2017, he initially had said he would release all of these files, you know, with these all of these assassinations that took place in the 1960s,
mm-hmm.
and then pulled back on that and agreed that there was some kind of a national security risk.
Yes.
I'm curious about that.
Well, you know what? You get shot at 7 years later, all of a sudden you're like, you know what? The hell with it. I'm releasing it. I damn near died anyway. So what's the difference? That would be my mindset.
So let's go back to the redaction thing real quick.
Yep.
You're saying that no, like, there, every name has to be out. There can't be.
I'm taking his words. So, I mean, people can tweet me and get angry. He said everything will be released.
Yeah.
Everything. What does everything mean? It means everything. Not 95%, not 98%, 100%.
Well, now parse the words. Everything will be released is not you will know definitively what happened to RFK, JFK, and MLK.
I'll put it this way. If Joe Biden would have said everything.
RFK is there.
If Biden would have said everything will be released, and I got a bunch of black smart Sharpie smudges on the sheets that are released,
yeah,
I would torch Joe Biden.
Of course you would.
So I'm going to same standard for
you.
Trump.
Look at you.
Same standard for Trump.
Look at you. That's unheard of in talk radio.
No,
we don't put the same standards when it's a Republican in office.
We need to know. These are things that Americans have been dying to know for decades now. And that was his words when he had the Sharpie last week. He's like, oh, this was years in the making. Decades, in fact, he said.
I just think
don't let me down.
It was so casually done that I think there's going to be a lot of nothing in there, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, there's no...
You think he'll release the findings of his own attempted assassination?
Yeah, I would. I want everything released. What about the Epstein files?
So do I.
What about the Epstein files? Everybody on this network, on this radio station, was so obsessed with the Epstein files, and
I don't think we're ever going to get
the there's Epstein. No there's not a peep done about that, and everybody's like, well, you know,
well,
it's okay.
Here's why I don't think Epstein will be released in my lifetime, because a lot of these people are probably 40, 50, 60 years old. Now, I get it. There are technically probably people that are still alive from the JFK assassination that were, and I'm talking about not just people in this audience that were alive when that happened. They might have been in grade school or high school, but people in the intel agencies that are retired now that are still alive. There might be a CIA agent who's 82 years old or whatever the math might be, still alive. But, I mean, here's the thing. I don't, and I'll walk it back just a tad.
Uh-oh.
Like, if you're not going to release a name of somebody that's not relevant to the actual assassination, I'm fine with that. Like, if John Smith was a CIA agent and he was a mile away on the other side of the grassy knoll and had nothing to do with anything, then fine, leave his name out of it. But everything that matters on that day, by the way, have you seen the refurbished video that is out on social media of the assassination in, like, modern technology today? It is unbelievable.
It is.
I mean, not to get like gory, but I mean, his head, you know, gets blown up. And then the guy in the front seat driving looks like he's on some sort of like I don't know if they had what type of devices they had for communication back then, but you got to watch it. It's fascinating, and it really opens up more theories as to who knew what was about to happen in those awful moments. So
I stick behind what I've been saying, that I think it's not going to be about JFK, because there are people who've seen these files as far as the JFK files,
yeah,
and they say, you know, there's not a lot you're going to learn from this. And so that makes me believe that RFK and especially MLK, those assassinations later in the, that was what, 1968, that I think there will be some new information there. And that's what I'm more curious to see. He signed that Thursday, so when do we get
that's my
files?
Question. Right. That's my thinking, that it's going to be JFK was killed and Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. RFK Jr. was killed and Sirhan acted alone. And
nobody's going to believe that.
MLK Jr. was killed and what was his name?
What
was the guy's name who killed him?
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King.
Well, in that one, by the way, the timeline for...
No, what was the assassin's name that killed? I'm just saying that all of them, I think we're going to find out that all of them acted alone.
James Earl Ray.
Yes, thank you.
James Earl Ray.
Oh, you're looking for... I'm sorry, I was looking at... So I was just looking at the timeline. So 15 days from the executive order for JFK, 45 days from the signing last Thursday for RFK and MLK Jr.
Okay.
That's the timeline.
Marcus Aurelius says, the Kennedy file redactions were made 50 years ago. The info they don't want us to know was permanently erased long ago. The bean spillers have not been long eliminated. We will learn nothing of substance from these documents.
I agree with him 100%.
Okay. Well, then I'll give Trump credit then. If those redactions were made well before him and he's releasing whatever's, quote, left of the evidence, then that's not on Trump. I'm not going to criticize him for that. I'll give him credit for releasing what's there. He can't go back and undo something that was wiped out a half century ago.
So wait, there's one file and it's been crossed out in Sharpie and that's the only file of this? That can't be.
Greg brings up the best point, because what if there are other files? He just signed an executive order to say we're going to release everything.
Yeah.
And the way that he worded that. So if there are other files that somebody has, you know what I'm saying? So that does open a door to Pandora's box.
Could be in Joe's Corvette in his garage in Delaware. You never know. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, find out what's on the cut sheet, including J.D. Vance and Margaret Brennan from yesterday.
Man, that was brutal.
Anybody watch that?
No, of course.
All right.
Tom Holman was with Martha Raddatz, too.
That's
All kinds of stuff.
Good stuff coming up. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. We're talking about the Honda Prologue, Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time, so you can cruise the roads worry-free in this 42-degree weather. Three charging options to choose from, including that portable charging kit for when you're on the go. Lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. I mean, come on, $229 a month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne, or shop online right now. Check out all the details at piazzahonda.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
February 2nd will be the grand opening of King Shooter Supply.
What?
At KOP. That's right, 346 East Church Road in King of Prussia. I'll be on out there from 2 to 4 p.m.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. The gun store and shooting range that you know and trust has just completed an addition with 7 more indoor lanes. So now there are 2 shooting bays with a total of 14 lanes, a huge parking lot, and a rear entrance, and the same great staff inside. So stop in on Sunday, February 2nd from 2 to 4, as I'll be out there, and we will help you out with all these great deals and specials, and then maybe start the early process of getting Kale and Company out on the range.
I was going to say, are you going to learn how to shoot a gun?
I'm more than happy if we can do something with this location or somebody in our audience that, I mean, I know there's people in our audience that are former police or military that could, assist me. I promise I will not embarrass you. I think I would actually be a quick study.
Where is it in King of Prussia?
It's 346 East Church Road.
Okay.
Yeah, not too far from my place, maybe 7-8 miles.
Sunday? All right, cool. Come out and harass you a little bit?
Yeah. I can't be any worse of an aim than everybody in Dawn's News at 6:05 and 7:05, right?
Actually, Brian, one of the employees, emailed me last night or this morning and said something to the effect of, like, you know, he's super happy, you know, that they're back advertising with us, and he would like to, you know, he still wants to take us out on the range.
So. Be nice. I can't say that I'm going to be like Tulsi Gabbard in those highlight videos on YouTube, but I think I'll be able to hold my own after a few sessions. So
yeah, I mean, I would assume that Dawn would be the best shot.
Yes,
of course she can't answer because she's not here.
But. Well, are we gonna, you know the way it's gonna work. We're gonna have to go through all the legal work, all the paperwork, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for me to be out there with a gun, we'll have to jump through 37 hoops, 19 lawyers.
Yeah,
we'll make it happen.
It'll happen.
7:52. Let's find out what's on the cut sheet.
What's on the cut sheet?
So they were saying that it was. What's on the cut sheet on this Monday? Thank you. Not a sponsor, but I'll just say go out to a King Shooter Supply Company on Sunday to join Nikhail out there in King of Prussia. Show him how to teach a gun. Teach them how to shoot a gun.
Yeah, we'll start with a handgun. And we'll work our way up to the longer guns.
So we talked a lot about ICE going into schools and churches. Is it just bluster, or are they really going to do it? Tom Homan is saying that, like, look, nothing is off the table.
Yeah, why would it be?
Martha Raddatz asked him about it, and then somebody from MSNBC or NBC News asked him about it. We'll start with Martha Raddatz. Let's start here with Cut 38 on if they will go into schools, elementary schools, middle schools. Roll it.
Go back to who you're deporting. Aside from the long list of executive actions, the administration said it will no longer tell ICE agents they have to avoid sensitive locations, including schools, hospitals, churches. Benjamin Huffman, the acting Homeland Security Secretary, said in a statement, criminals will no longer be able to hide in America's schools and churches to avoid arrest. What criminals are hiding in schools?
Look,
middle schools. Elementary schools. You going to go into those?
How many MS-13 members are the age of 14 and 17? Many of them. So, look, if it's a national security threat, public safety threat, and what you need to understand is a case by case. Name another agency. Another law enforcement agency that has those type of requirements that they can't walk into a school or a doctor's office or on a medical campus. No other agencies have those standards. These are well-trained officers with a lot of discretion. And when it comes to a sense of location, there's still going to be supervised review. So it's not like it's an open issue. But ICE officers should have discretion to decide if a national security threat or a public safety threat is in one of these facilities, then it should be an option for them to make the arrest.
But someday you could go into those schools and grab people who are just in the country illegally.
On a case-by-case basis, depending who they are, what the circumstances are. It's never a zero game.
You know that this creates fear in the immigrant community.
Okay.
It doesn't create fear unless people like Martha Raddatz keep talking about it every single day, like they're you know, it's her child being yanked out of his desk. I didn't even think about that because when we keep hearing, you know, going into schools, you're either thinking, okay, there's an employee in the school that might be there illegally that slipped through the cracks and is working as, I don't know, a janitor or in the cafeteria. I highly doubt that they would be a teacher and slip through that vetting process. And then we're talking about the students that are there just illegally with their parents. I never even thought about MS-13 with 14 to 17-year-olds. That's a great point from Tom Homan.
According to the National Gang Center, at least 11% of students in middle and high schools across America report the presence of gang activity in their schools and intimidation, drug dealing, violence. And then when you think about 11% across the country, obviously there are, I don't know, certain places where there may be zero gang activity and then other places
40%.
Such as urban areas where it's probably, you know, that 11% number is across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to know the percentage, for example, in urban areas like Chicago, Philadelphia, New York.
Correct.
You guys both okay with ICE agents coming into your kids' schools? I mean, Dawn's kids are older now.
But. Absolutely. Yeah. If there's an MS-13
okay
student
okay.
at Bluebell Elementary
okay.
and they got to come in and get him out, it means my daughter's less at risk of being taken advantage of by a MS-13 member. Absolutely.
And in my son's high school, I would say this. They have I can tell you they have plans for any kind of situation where they have to come in. And as Tom Homan said, with discretion. Do I think this is going to be a commonplace situation? No, I don't. But I think it's a way of federal law enforcement of warning these gang members that if you are in schools and you are wreaking havoc and causing violence or whatever, I think that that's a part of it, that they're saying, yes, do they have jurisdiction? If they think there's an imminent danger, yes.
And
do I really think they're going to go into my kid's high school or, across Philadelphia high schools? No. And if they do, then what that tells me is that there's a gang situation that is imminent, that it poses a greater risk.
Why don't we do this then for threats to school shooters and stuff? You know what I mean?
Like, I'd be totally fine with that. Absolutely.
Like, why just that type of stuff? Why not go in there and if somebody's making threats online?
Mm-hmm.
They do, Greg. It happens all the time where they have a lockdown. If they have any kind of situation, they do a lockdown. They may have shelter in place. They do it on a routine basis.
I think, though, with let's under the pretext of MS-13 teenagers, ages 14 to 17, at a high school or a junior high school, obviously these kids are aware that they are in MS-13, and they probably have been tipped off, or they are on social media. They know who the new president is. So you can't. It's not like it's not one extreme where all of a sudden ICE is going to show up, kick down Mrs. Johnson's, ninth grade algebra door and pull out machine guns. But you're also not going to go to the guidance counselor or the principal and say, hey, can you send down Joe Smith? Because as soon as Joe Smith hears over the loudspeaker, or if they call the teacher's room and says, hey, can you send Joe Smith down? Joe Smith probably knows he's in trouble. So I would think it's going to be very tactical from a element of surprise standpoint, that they might wait for the buses area, or maybe if they get into a car to drive home with a 16-year-old that's got a license, or maybe they're on the edge of the property where you pull out of the school district grounds. I mean, they're making it sound like they're just going to bust into these schools like it's a narcotics raid in the Denzel Washington movie. It's not going to happen.
No, and I just wonder as well, because a lot of these, most schools nowadays have cameras. Mm-hmm. They have cameras everywhere. So then my question is, what's that?
Sad state of affairs.
I know, but
to do this.
My question is, then does ICE have the ability, or does anybody have the ability for any reason? You know, they even have them on school buses. So do they have the ability, or do they have to get a warrant first to look through the video, do facial recognition? I don't have the answer to this. And to Greg's point, at what point do you say, oh, I don't know if I'm comfortable with this?
I didn't say I wasn't comfortable with it. I just said, are you guys comfortable with them?
But you're asking the question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, totally comfortable with
it. Because remember under the Patriot Act, remember the department, when the Department of Homeland Security was created, and that was Governor Tom Ridge of Pennsylvania, that was under the Bush administration, a lot of people said, oh, well, this is good. This is good that we've created another very expensive bureaucracy, and we gave up some of our freedoms, right, and civil liberties during that whole situation with the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
And then, upon reflection, I think a lot of Americans had said, oh, every time we do this, what do we give up? We give up freedoms in the name of our security and catching people who are terrorists or very violent people. And I suspect that that's where we're going for this conversation. And then I would wonder if somebody, a libertarian, might say, when you're looking at facial recognition and kids on camera and how young do you go? And I think that's where you're going to see the pushback among libertarians and conservatives.
I would suggest, if you want to be updated, follow ICE on X. It's @ICEGOV. And they give you the updates every 12 hours.
Why does ICE have their own X account?
Just like
they
every
all
other,
do.
They all, every government agency has them. The FBI, the vice president, the president.
Stupid.
It's 900, as of, what's today, the 27th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As of yesterday, the 26th, 956 arrests and 554 detainers were lodged.
Just one thing, yeah. Greg, really quick here, that, because you mentioned their social media, this is my little media note, that memos went out to all these different government agencies to sort of lock down what they're talking about, with the exception of this issue. So illegal immigration, you can put out information, but otherwise they want to control which agencies are putting out what information.
MSNBC also asked Homan about this.
Do you plan under certain circumstances to go into churches and schools at some point?
I'll never say never. If there's a national security threat that we know is in a certain place on a college campus, well, we're going to get that national security threat. If he's a significant public safety threat that's in a, what we used to call a central location, no, we're going to enforce the law.
Are both of you okay then with them going into churches?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think church should protect you from entering this country illegally. I mean, what is that, like the hands-off area? I mean, give me a break.
I just want to react to Tom Homan's comment about college campuses. So does that include individuals who've made threats against Jewish students, kids who are, let's say, are being accused of
Anti-Semitism. Yeah, that's a great point.
Or maybe these kids are, I don't know, from, because a lot of people focus on like South America, this and that. I don't think that's what this is. They're looking at kids from all around the world who may have been, who they view, because he just said national security risk.
Remember all those videos of people at the southern border when Bill Malusian was there and he's like, where are you from? Where are you from? Mm-hmm. And he was going down the list, right? It was like roll call, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of Middle Eastern countries.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cut 16 here. This is more with Raddatz and Tom Homan. Are there going to be mass deportations, excuse me, I'm tongue-tied here, every single day in the next 4 years? This was his answer. Roll it.
I want to go back to those military flights going south. We, as you said, we have never seen that before. Is that going to be a constant commitment from the U.S. military every single day?
Yes.
To take deportees out?
Yes.
So is this what we will see every single day?
Yes.
Ending in what the president has promised is millions and millions being deported?
Yes.
Yes.
But you're going to see the numbers steadily increase, the number of arrests nationwide as we open up the aperture. Right now it's concentrating public safety threats, national security threats. That's a smaller population. So we're going to do this on priority base, as President Trump's promised, but as that aperture opens, there'll be more arrests nationwide.
When you talk about the aperture opening, the estimates of perhaps those who have been convicted or arrested in the past, 700,000 to over a million. So after you do that, then you go after everybody who is there illegally.
If you're in the country illegally, you're on the table. Because it's not okay to, you know, violate laws of this country. You got to remember, every time you enter this country illegally, you violated a crime under Title 8, United States Code 1325. It's a crime. So if you're in the country illegally, you got a problem. And that's why I'm hoping those who are in the country illegally who have not been ordered removed by the federal judge should leave.
I love how everybody just thinks that this guy is, you know, shooting from the hip and he's a gas bag and he's all bluster. This guy knows exactly. He's got laws and titles and U.S. codes memorized. He's been doing it a long time. And if you think, and like I go back to Al Sharpton in the Big Take this morning. He says, oh, these people are being targeted and they are profiled. You're absolutely right. They're being targeted and profiled. This enforcement group here with Tom Homan running ICE and now Kristi Noem taking up DHS, they know the names of these individuals. They know where to. It's not like they just show up one day. Hey, you want to go to Delco one day and just start walking around and looking for people to lock up? This is a targeted sting. They're going right for people that they know. I remember after 9/11, we had all the 9/11 movies, like, you know, I think it was Shooter, and then there was Zero Dark 30. And remember, there was the big wanted list by the federal government for all these terrorists. And at the top was Osama bin Laden and then all the other guys down below. Wouldn't surprise me if Tom Homan had like this big map and chart of all these people that they're coming after.
I don't think this was on the Martha Raddatz interview, but this was another interview he did. This is Cut 14. You know, since we're talking about the response, yeah, this was Newsmax. Since we're talking about the response, the Catholic Church came out and decried the deportation. I think the Pope said, what did he say? It was sick?
Yeah, he was against it.
So he responds to the Catholic outcry over Trump's deportation operation. Roll it.
The Pope this week said that it's a disgrace, what we're now doing with this new government, deporting all of these people. We've got, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of media searching for the sad stories here, trying to turn public opinion against this operation. What's your message to the American people as you guys do this work?
Well, let me give a message to the public. I'm a lifelong Catholic. I was born Catholic. I've been through Catholic doctrine, but he only concentrated on fixing the Catholic Church, first of all. He's got big problems there. And in the Vatican, they have a wall around the Vatican. And if you illegal enter the Vatican, the crime is serious. You'll be charged with a serious crime, be jailed.
Yeah.
So he can protect the Vatican where he lives. He can build a wall where he lives. Would American people not allow that? No. Securing the border saves lives. He needs to understand that. We secure the border. When less people come, less women get raped by the cartel. Less children die in the river. Less Americans die from fentanyl overdoses. He ought to stick to it. He ought to stick to the Catholic Church and fix that. That's a mess.
It's like Steph Curry for the Golden State Warriors when he was all about open borders as he lives in his gated community in the Bay Area. Walls and borders for me, but not for thee, huh? You plebs.
Yeah, the Vatican issue is the best issue anybody can bring up, because the security at the Vatican, everywhere you go, is airtight.
Yeah. I wonder how airtight Martha Raddatz's property is.
I don't disagree with any of this, and I think there's a lot of hypocrisy in the Catholic Church. However, let me just push back a little bit. It is a little rich, isn't it? All the religious people there are like, yeah, get them out of here. Deport them all. You know what I mean? It's a little hypocritical. No,
I think the religious people in the Catholic Church.
I'm not religious, so I don't care.
No, I think it's the opposite. I think there's a lot of Catholics that are offended by these deportations. You saw the banner right there on, was that Newsmax with was Rob Schmidt?
Yeah.
The headline said "Woke Pope."
Yeah,
I think there are more Catholic people out there that are saying it's inhumane what's happening than being, hey, get rid of them as soon as you can.
Do you think so? I don't.
Let me just ask you this. What has the Pope or the Catholic Church done to help communities that are gang, overridden, or some of the violence that's happening? In other words, the people coming out and thanking these ICE agents, if you watch, and Dr. Phil's embedded in Chicago, and he's with ICE there. And so what they're all saying is people in the community come out and say thank you. Because the very people who are being preyed upon first, who are right there at ground zero with these gangs and rapists and violent people, are in fact people who are in that community, who are Spanish-speaking individuals, whether they have green cards, whether they're working in the community, whether they are U.S. citizens or legally on their pathway. They're the front line of being victimized by all of these very dangerous gang members.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a little rich. So what would Jesus do, people? Because, just saying. Being realistic, Tom Holman, this is Cut 17. Not all undocumented migrants will be removed. Roll it.
So tell me what the definition of success is over the next 6 months, over the next year, by the end of the administration. What is mission accomplished here?
Taking as many public safety threats off the street as possible. Watching illegal alien crime in the United States decrease. Ending it. Deporting every illegal alien gang member in this country, including Tren de Agua and MS-13. Making our country safe. When we see the crime rate from illegal aliens go down, that's a success. Every public safety threat we remove from this country is a success. Every national security threat that we find removed from the country is a success. There's no number on it. So my success can be based on what Congress gives us. More money, the better we're going to do.
I noticed you didn't put in that list of things that will be mission accomplished and success. Getting every immigrant who is in the country illegally out. Why not?
Because I'm being realistic. We can do what we can with the money we have. We're going to try to be efficient, but with more money we have, the more we can compensate. If I don't have the money to remove that millions of people, then I'm not going to sit here and no one can say I haven't been frank in everything I've said. Our success every day is taking a public safety threat off the streets, or get a national security threat out of here.
Boy, I tell you, in an era of defund the police, in an era of the military not hitting recruiting targets, this guy's a breath of fresh air. In this day and age of, I don't care about your feelings, we're just going to get things done, and that's what people care about. And that's what Stephen A. Smith was yelling about on Bill Maher's show as he was yelling with Ro Khanna. Like, we've tried it all the other ways. And now Trump's bringing in this guy who's just taking a flamethrower to the way it's been done. And it's all legal. Just like the use of the term illegal alien. Another correct legal term that people get offended by. I don't care.
One more, cut 18, then we can be done with the Tom Homan, Martha Raddatz show. Roll it.
To deport all of those people.
Well, I'll leave it up to Congress. You know, I think Congress, the president has a mandate. This is the number one issue that people voted on. I think Congress has a mandate to give us money we need. What price do you put on national security?
More detention centers?
What price do you put on all these young ladies who've been raped and murdered and burned alive? What price do you put on that? What price do you put on Lincoln Riley's life? What price do you put on national security? Like I just explained, when you have a surge like this, we don't secure that border. That's when national security threats enter the country. That's when sex trafficking goes up. That's when, you know, that's when the fentanyl comes in that killed a quarter million Americans. I don't put a price on that.
And on those detention centers.
Whether it's Christy Houghton Homme at the highest level with the title of DHS or just a cool name like Borders Are for Tom Homan, these people should be given whatever they need funding-wise from the federal government. What do you need? What does your budget look like for success? Okay, granted, you got it.
I think he was responding to, there was a report over the weekend that deporting just 8 people cost the United States like $800,000 or something like that. So I think they were responding to that, like how much at the end of the day will this cost the American people?
Well, if they're criminals and they're in the system, well, first of all, I mean, like he said, are you going to say, oh, we'll leave them here so they can rape, maim, and murder? Number one. And number two, it's much more costly to have to put them through the system, put them up, provide a public defender. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Martha, the last, you know, one of the last questions that you aired was, I think, a fair question. What's the goal? What is mission complete? If I were asking questions, I would ask about the missing children.
Yeah.
That he keeps saying that we have as many as 550,000 children in this country who are unaccounted for, children being children from other countries who were snuck into this country, and then what happened to them? They're missing children in our nation, and how many of them does he believe are right now, as we speak, suffering?
Yeah.
Suffering unthinkable things at the hands of, by the way, American perpetrators who are here, who are the Johns, who are the customers, sicko customers. So I'm just, that would be like my number one, as you know, that would be my number one question. Did she ask that, Greg?
I didn't hear her ask that.
How do you not lead with that?
Thompson on the YouTube chat writes, how much did it cost to house criminals? That's a great question. Mm-hmm. Like, what were the American people paying to put all these people up in these sanctuary cities and everything?
Room and board,
like,
so, loaded debit cards, meals.
By the way, if you watch us on YouTube, if you follow along on YouTube, youtube.com/@1210WPHD, please make sure you hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're doing that. All of you right now watching, please hit the subscribe button and hit the like button. You can follow along and comment, and if your comment catches my eye, I'll probably read it, even if it's a shot against me, a shot against Nick. Never a shot against Dolan, though. Just never a shot.
Right. Speaking of shots, King Shooter's coming up on Sunday, 2-4.
Yeah. Nick is going out there, Dolan, to learn how to shoot.
Be like Elmer Fudd. He's very quiet.
Everybody out there, I'm going to bring out my Mylar bubble wrap to surround you.
Road Warrior says, everybody watch out for their feet.
Gosh.
You're going to be like that officer.
Shoot myself in the thigh.
You're going to be like that officer in Jacksonville. J.D. Vance was on Face the Nation with Margaret Brennan, who was so smug.
I know. Damn. She's such a pleasant individual.
She was just like... let's start here with Cut 31. This is about, you know, J.D. Vance is saying that big tech needs to be broken up, and now now they were all, the Trump inauguration is then hypocritical, blah, 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 blah. 31, roll it.
Google, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. In August, you told us Google and Facebook are too big. We ought to take the Teddy Roosevelt approach. Break them up. Don't let them control what people are allowed to say. They've now donated to the Trump inauguration. Are you still going to break up big tech?
So you know who else was at the inauguration? It was my mom and a lot of people who just supported the president and fought every single day to get his election.
And they gave $1 million to the inauguration.
And there were a lot of people who didn't give $1 million to the inauguration.
They got pretty good seating.
Who were on that stage, Margaret. They didn't have as good seating as my mom and a lot of other people who were there to support us. But look, we believe fundamentally that big tech does have too much power, and there are two ways they can go about this. They can either respect Americans' constitutional rights, they can stop engaging in censorship, and if they don't, you can be absolutely sure that Donald Trump's leadership is not going to look too kindly on them.
So they're still on notice?
They're very much on notice.
I mean, look, to me, it doesn't matter one way or the other if you're Republican or Democrat, if you have Meta or if you have Google and YouTube. I expect those donations. I expect the kissing of the ring. I don't trust. That's why I said last week, in the last 2 weeks, whether it's Zuckerberg, Bezos, even Elon Musk, you know, he jumped on the train a little bit early, so to speak. Just give me the right to have the marketplace of ideas flow seamlessly and flawlessly. I don't care if you're saying something I agree with or disagree with, if it's a platform I use or a platform I don't use, let the American people sift through what they deem credible stuff or not.
I hate to do, like, I'm anti, you know, what would she say to a Democrat? But in this case, I want to know, did she have the same sort of arrogant, smug, resting bee face that she had with
Facebook?
With Kamala Harris.
Oh, okay.
Because I know she interviewed her.
That's
so
right.
So, like, you know what I mean?
No.
She pushed back on every word salad that's
just it.
Dopey Kamala said?
Yes.
That's just it. The people who I think age best in all of these interviews are the people who treated everybody equally, asked similar questions, had the same kind of demeanor.
That's all I want. That's all I want. I just want people that treat, like, if you're going to be hard on the Trump administration, great. Great, I want that. Journalists need to be, but then you needed to have been. Yes, you needed to have been hard on the Biden administration, and they weren't. You know what I mean? And Fox is going to do just the opposite. Yeah. I'm sorry, Nick.
No, I was asking. Was she the one that interviewed Kamala where they changed her answers to the same question, or was that was that Bill Whitaker?
By the way, it looks like they're going to settle some of these suits.
That's why I'm asking, because I just saw the transcript has been released in the lawsuit about what they took and played in the same day, two different answers to the same exact question. And oh, by the way, we still do not have the other 26 minutes of that interview.
Yeah.
That has not been made available to the public.
Why is that? Yeah, when you see it and you see how they edit it around, you can see why. The reports are they're gonna settle these because it looks very bad.
Yeah,
it is very bad.
Oh, yes, yes.
She wants to know why we have not lowered prices yet.
What, 1 week in?
Right,
cut 32. Go.
You campaigned on lowering prices for consumers. We've seen all of these executive orders. Which one lowers prices?
We have done a lot, and there have been a number of executive orders that have caused already jobs to start coming back into our country, which is a core part of lowering prices. More capital investment, more job creation in our economy is one of the things that's going to drive down prices for all consumers, but also raise wages so that people can afford to buy the things that they need. If you look at our slate of executive orders, No, Margaret, prices are going to come down, but it's going to take a little bit of time, right? The president has been president for all of 5 days. I think that in those 5 days, he's accomplished more than Joe Biden did in 4 years. It's been an incredible breakneck pace of activity. We're going to work with Congress. We're, of course, going to have more executive orders. And we're going to try the way that you lower prices is that you encourage more capital investment into our country. And yes.
That question, courtesy of my mother-in-law via the Margaret Brennan mailbag. 5 days in, why is gas not $2.28 a gallon? Is Trump really going to deliver? I said that the thing that I thought he could have the most impact on from Jump Street was illegal immigration, deportation. Think about it. He sent troops to the border. Greg Abbott's putting up buoys. You've got 956 people just yesterday alone. I mean, let's go, because, you know, we tackle the tough questions here. When do we think is a fair point to assess Trump on the economy based on, like, energy prices, heating and cooling? So this summer.
Oh, my God. It's going to take a year.
Okay. So
at least
12 months.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that would that. So let's, when I say economy, let's go gas prices, grocery prices, energy for home, housing market. I have no idea about. You know, we could talk about the Fed. I know, Dawn, you'll give us interest rate updates and what they're doing every month. But you know, the kitchen table issues. You're going to give him until at least the fall. I just want to get everybody on record, because if I'm still paying $3.37 for a gallon of gas next September, I'm going to be a little pissed off.
Well, I'm,
don't you guys watch Landman?
No.
You can learn all about this.
I watch Married with Children and football.
Landman is such a good series.
And wrestling.
And occasionally right The Five.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think obviously that's why, you know, with everything, that's why Trump is saying drill, baby, drill. He's meeting with, oh my gosh, I should have reported this earlier, but he's meeting with one of the kings, and I have it in my script, but he's meeting with, in one of his first biggity-big meetings in Saudi Arabia. So he is focused on making energy cost less, and therefore that would bring prices down.
Yeah,
that would,
it's a trickle-down.
Well, snowball, I don't even know if it would trickle.
Effect.
If they can do this quickly, that's the goal. I don't know how quickly they can do that. But then as well, you have the issue of Russian oil, because at the same time, they're trying to sanction Russia. Do you know what I'm saying? And so they have a lot of moving parts because of what's going on in Russia and Ukraine.
I think his biggest task economically is the housing market. And I just don't know how many people, Republican or Democrat, are going to have. You know, if you think all of a sudden that house that's now $600,000 that used to be $382,000 is going to be $382,000 again in 4 years, I think you're sadly mistaken.
Remember Trump had said during the campaign that he wanted to do a temporary ceiling on interest rates. In other words, all the people with credit card debt, mm-hmm. which most Americans have a lot, and so it's a huge payment. So he had floated out there that he would do something at a 10% cap.
Yeah.
In other words, to say to all the credit card companies, hey, for 90 days, let people, or six, whatever that looks like, let people have a catch-up period.
Mm-hmm.
Lower those interest rates from, you know, the upwards of 28-30%, lower it so that they can just do a catch-up to spur spending.
She also asked about illegal immigration. This is cut 33. Phil, go.
Well, Margaret, I don't agree that all these immigrants or all these refugees have been properly vetted. In fact, we know that there are cases of people who allegedly were properly vetted and then were literally planning terrorist attacks on our country. That happened during the campaign, if you may remember. So clearly not all of these foreign nationals have been properly vetted.
No, but there are 30,000 people in the pipeline, Afghan refugees.
But my primary concern as the vice president, Margaret, is to look after the American people. And now that know that we have vetting problems with a lot of these refugee programs, we absolutely cannot unleash thousands of unvetted people into our country.
These people
it's
are
not
vetted.
Good.
These people are vetted.
Just like the guy who planned a terrorist attack in Oklahoma a few months ago, he was allegedly properly vetted. Mm-hmm. And many people in the media and the Democratic Party said that he was properly vetted. Clearly he wasn't. I don't want my children to share a neighborhood with people who are not properly vetted. And because I don't want it for my kids, I'm not going to force any other American citizens' kids to do that either.
No, and that was a very particular case. It wasn't clear if he was radicalized when he got here or while he was living here.
I don't really care, Margaret. I don't want that person in my country, and I think most Americans agree with me.
It's just amazing. You listen to J.D. Vance, and everything is so, I mean, and he's a super, super bright guy. Mm-hmm. But everything is nuts and bolts, common sense. And my God, I mean, we always talk about the bias. I'm not expecting anything different from Margaret Brennan on CBS. But could she be a bigger advocate for the Democrat talking points than what she just, and it's always this battle of interrupting, and I'm going to try to fact check you. Like, the last time I checked, isn't this an interview where you were supposed to ask J.D. Vance the question and let him give his answer? And then if you want to follow up, but it's always this rush to interrupt and butt in and cut off. That's why I won't watch any of these in real time. I'll just react on the cut sheet. It's a painful exhibition. I remember for years, and I'm sure anybody that's ever listened to any talk radio program, you want to hear, if there's a guest on, let the guest talk. She's got the vice president there, and she's actually going to try to outsmart him. You think she really knows more about the subject matter than he does? No.
Well, and I also think, you know,
the same thing goes with Hannity. Let Trump talk. Shut up.
Agreed. I think in the case of Margaret Brennan, she presumes to know more than the vice president of the United States who has security clearances, right? The top level security clearances. So if he's saying that some of these individuals, whether they're specifically as this Afghan person from Afghanistan, and he came here on a visa, and remember he made that threat against President Trump, remember on Election Day, that was the allegation against him. So I'm not sure if she was saying that all of these immigrants who are here illegally, whether they're, you know, or just the Afghan ones. I'm not sure if she was saying all of the above, but her, you know, her arrogance to presume that she, Margaret Brennan of CBS News, and they all talk like this. They have that weird, like, and she, I know more than you. And does she have security clearances? Is this something, right, something we don't know here? That's what kills me.
Painful.
I have, as you can see, guys, I have 7 pages here.
Oh, sorry.
We should probably break really fast because this could take all the better of 6 days.
I'm here till 10 o'clock, so what the hell?
By the way, we haven't even gotten to...
You want to stay till noon, Greg? It'll be the Greg show.
We haven't even gotten... Yeah, no, nobody wants that. We haven't even gotten to Trump in California, where he went after Karen Bass, he went after Bob Sherman. We have all of that. He let the residents of North Carolina speak. We have that. Al Sharpton is saying that any company that gets rid of DEI, you need to boycott.
Okay.
So we have all of that, plus so much more, and we should all do that on the other side.
Kale and Company on the other side. More of the Cut Sheet. Nick, Dawn, and Greg, we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
So there is an entire movement on TikTok called Cute Winter Boots.
Cute winter boots.
It's not what you think. It's,
how could it be?
It's where they give tips and tricks about how to avoid ice raids.
Okay.
So, like, if you post about this, it's like this secret club.
Right. On social media.
On social media, where they, yeah, exactly, where they give people tips on how to avoid ice raids. Roll it.
Okay.
I make cute winter boots for babies. That is true. And it's important because ice cream trucks and babies don't go good together.
Stop it for
their
a second.
Their feet get cold.
Stop it for a second.
Get it?
Right there. Yep. Where do you want to begin?
We made this observation on Friday.
Yeah.
Yes, I said Friday. The foreheads on these women.
Yeah, a little excessive.
Can we, like, ladies, little bangs.
Yeah.
She bangs.
Something.
Oh, baby, when she moves, she moves.
I don't have, I don't have any proof to back this up, but that's never stopped me from saying it before. I believe that there is some sort of line between psychotropic drugs, you know, like when you're on a med for anxiety or depression or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and hair loss.
Okay.
I believe that there is,
that's
one of the side effects.
It is.
Okay.
And look at a lot of these women who post these videos on social, and their hair looks a little, very stringy and ready to fall out. That's all I'm saying.
Are bangs making a comeback? Is that a thing? Or are you just saying that's a good way for her to hide her fifth head?
I don't know. It's just an observation that I noticed. Or maybe just back up a little bit from the camera and not have it right in your mug there, sweetie.
Right.
All right. Start it over again. Sorry.
I make cute winter boots for babies. That is true. And it's important because ice cream trucks and babies don't go good together. Their feet get cold on the ice of the ice cream trucks. And in Oklahoma, the last time they sent out mass roundings up for the ice cream trucks, they sent them just outside of schools. This time, our superintendent has promised to allow them in the schools. Babies and ice cream trucks are not going to go well together. Be careful in Oklahoma for the ice cream trucks that go to schools for the babies.
What the hell is she talking about?
I'm having
flashbacks. Well, she's saying that ICE is headed to Oklahoma.
No, I get it.
ICE doesn't come to Oklahoma too often.
Well, she's
here.
Oh, God.
But it has been an Arctic winter, so maybe they will get a blast. I'm having flashbacks to Nick Nolte in 48 Hours. That's got to be the Iceman.
I would like ICE to find everybody who's posting on cute winter boots and deport them, too.
Yeah, I was going
to say. Even if they're citizens, I don't care.
Are we allowed to deport citizens that are white liberal females?
I would like to deport a lot of people, actually.
I'd give my mother-in-law's address to Tom Homan if he wants it.
Speaking of Tom Homan, I didn't play this earlier. I want to play this now. This is 36. He personally... went out and did a raid, and he found a child rapist from Thailand in Chicago.
Okay.
Great.
Roll it.
What's your name?
Seda.
Seda what? You have a person that's named?
Sam.
Seda Sam?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Where I was born or where I'm from?
Where are you born?
Thailand.
You been deported before from the United States?
No.
Never been deported?
But I've been in the system before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What have you been charged with?
Charged with?
Before.
I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna talk to my lawyer.
Oh.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. Are you a citizen?
My mom's a citizen.
Come on,
your mother's a citizen?
Yes.
But you're not?
Nope.
But you've never been deported before?
You're Dr. Phil. You're like Dr. Phil.
Yeah? How do you know me?
No, I seen Dr. Phil, you know.
Tom.
On TV.
Tom Holmes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There he is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, this is an example of sanctuary cities, right? We got an illegal alien convicted of sex crimes involving children. And he's walking the streets of Chicago. Again, the downfall, the problem with the sanctuary city, that people like us walking the street rather than law enforcement working with federal agents, this is what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've been charged with sex crimes with children?
Not really.
Not really.
Not really?
Just kind of.
And never been deported?
Well,
it's a first for everyone.
Huh. Let's take him in and process and lock him up.
Got it, sir. Uh-huh.
And you know what? He'll probably be safer and better off in his country than going to prison here. Because you mess with little children sexually in the United States, when you go to the booty house, they don't like that.
The booty house?
Yes, yeah, the booty house. That's what we used to call it when I was in working in the detention facilities. Called but the booty house.
The inference here is that this guy was not deported, and that he was let... The pattern across the country is that even when these guys are scooped up and Dr. Phil's embedded with ICE in Chicago,
yep,
that they get arrested, and then because all of these cities like Philadelphia, like Chicago, New York, sounds like they're getting the message and getting better, but it sounds like, well, we can't deny bail to these people, and so they put them out. And say, yeah, you got a court rate. You have a court date in a month. Come back to court. And meantime, the community has no idea. And at that point, is it even, you know, relevant with the system, whether it's an illegal or whether it's a citizen here? Why would you let some of these dangerous first and foremost, why would you let any dangerous, violent predator, especially one against children, back out on bail? That's my first question. Mm-hmm. And then my second question is, why would you not deport them? Yeah. Do you know? And so it's like a double whammy.
I mean, put your parent hat on for a moment. For all of us with children out there, how do you justify keeping that individual on your streets as a parent, knowing that that guy right there could actually end up raping, molesting, or murdering your child? You're on that side? But it's probably the same people on the side of Gaza as well. So
yeah. I'm amazed there's not more vigilantism. Because if somebody had done, when my kids were little, had done that,
yeah,
I wouldn't want police. I would have taken care of, I mean, I would have lost my mind and done something very bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how any parent holds forth that much restraint.
Right.
If you know somebody is allowed to live within your community. And that's part of why Trump won. Because people in these communities knew this and thought, you know, these Democrats, these blue cities allow this. They put these predators back in our communities to stalk us and our kids and wreak havoc in our lives.
But
that's why Trump won.
By the way, when did Dr. Phil get super into the political stuff? When did that become a thing?
Remember, he was on the campaign trail with Trump. Like,
I know,
in
but
October?
I'm just trying to remember when like that became a thing. Does he no longer do his show?
He's a hideous guy. He is.
My mother-in-law's brother looks and sounds just like him.
Horrendous guy. Horrendous individual.
Why do you say that?
It's just he's a bottom feeder. He's a bottom feeder. They all are. Now all of a sudden that, you know, this administration is popular, he's like, you know, glomming onto him.
Well, that's my point. It's like, when did he get into that? I don't remember him seven, 8 years ago being super political.
Yeah, he was the one on TV. He was like, there's nothing wrong with trans surgery.
Oh, was he on that side of the ledger?
And now he's done the total 180. Then all of a sudden he's done a complete 180. Okay. It's a fraud.
But he's embedded. Who does he work for?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, how is he out there with ICE? Is that for a show, a documentary, something he's filming?
He is, but I don't think it's with CBS. I don't think he's with CBS anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, CBS wouldn't allow that.
No. Margaret Brennan would slap him.
Over the weekend, Trump was in Los Angeles, held a press conference. It was like a little round table with all the politicians and the mayor of Los Angeles and the governor. About the wildfires and the response and all of that. Let's start with Trump and Karen Bass, the LA mayor, Karen Bass. This is cut 10. Phil, go.
We're bringing our city departments together so that people don't get caught in the loop of going from one room to the next. We want them all to be in the same room so that you can get busy rebuilding ASAP. Absolutely. Yes. Yes, and we will clear the lots, absolutely, in the city and in the county. We are working together. Both levels of government are working in unity.
Is it like we that's the answer that we got, and that's what we're all hanging on.
Yes.
So if you're telling us now faster, is it 6 months? Is it, I mean, all of our lives, rents, all this stuff is weighing on this.
6 months is no good.
And the number one thing that we are going to do immediately, and you will see this happen, is to clear out the debris. And you know we're concerned right now over the weekend because of the potential rain, but we are going to move as fast as we can, but we want you to be safe, and we want you to be back in your homes immediately.
But the people are willing to clean out their own debris. It doesn't cost a lot.
Yes, and they can.
You should let them do it because by the time you hire contractors, it's going to be 2 years.
If a family...
The people are willing to get a dumpster and do it themselves and clean it out.
And they can.
There's not that much left. It's all incinerated.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just going to take a long time if you do. You can do some of it, but a lot of these people... I know that guy right there that's talking. I know my people. You'll be on that thing tonight, throwing the stuff away, and your site will be, it'll look perfect within 24 hours, and that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to wait around for 7 months till the city hires some demolition contract, and that's going to charge him $25,000 to do his lot. Yeah. I think you have to, you have emergency powers just like I do, and I'm exercising my emergency powers. You have to exercise them also.
I did exercise them.
Because I looked. I mean, you have a very powerful emergency power, and you can do everything within 24 hours.
Yes. And if individuals want to clear out their property, they can.
Okay. After her failures and Gavin Newsom's failures, would you wait around 7 months like Trump is proposing there that could possibly be, you know, all this red tape, all this bureaucracy, $25,000, or would you be able to do it yourself if you had the means to do so? And a lot of these people are wealthy, so they probably do have the means to do some of it.
What he's referring to is what some of what builders, and you talk about the housing crisis across the country and here in Pennsylvania, what he's referring to is Democrat-run areas where they have extremely tight, tough restrictions and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just got her to say, you do what you want. You know, you heard what she said. You go ahead and clear it. And so that's what he's pointing out, that all these people, including Governor Shapiro right now, even though after Governor Tom Wolf, like executive powers here in PA, as far as the governor level, were restricted a little bit. But all of these regulations in Democrat-controlled municipalities at the state level and at the local level, at the city level, these individuals have a ton of power. Lift some of these regulations so that we can get things back, like the housing shortage that Greg Stocker mentioned earlier. Builders are telling me that what used to be 6 months is now 3 years because of Pennsylvania's tough regulations. In L.A., imagine that, like what you said. Mm-hmm. You have to sit there and wait as you look around your property. Maybe you have a big family or communities are coming together, churches and synagogues coming together. Let people figure it out. And that clears up, by the way, money and help for elderly folks, or, you know what I mean, like folks who can't do that.
Yep.
He also went head-to-head with Congressman Brad Sherman. This is cut 11, Phil. Roll it.
A big percentage, I would assume, Brad, like that. What are they going to do? Go ahead.
Mr. President, without your help, they're only going to get $43,000 from the federal government.
even if they have a half million dollar
You did something,
loss.
Brad, where every insurance company in the country left California. That's why you have no insurance, because you made it so impossible. People that think like you made it so impossible. And you
Brad,
know,
me,
every insurance company, I don't know
what to do about my thinking.
I've never seen a state where almost nobody has insurance. And I said, what happened? And they said, like, 6 months ago, they all left. And 2 years ago, they had different, you know, quadrants, but they left. And you have very little insurance here. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
We had a lot of insurance companies pull out, but I have no idea.
And the insurance companies actually have been warning you. Now, I'm not a big fan of insurance companies, okay? They have their big drawbacks, too. But the insurance company, I've been reading. I read the papers very well. And, you know, they've been warning California for a long time. They've also been saying, we want water. You don't have water. You're supposed to get fire insurance. And the insurance company goes, you don't have any water in your fire hydrants. So it's a tough situation.
How about the reaction he gets there? I'm assuming those were maybe some Democrats that were clapping. I have no idea. But $43,000, is that what the rate will be per person moving forward for this reclamation project of their life? I mean, if your home, I don't know what the home was worth there, but let's say it was $2.5 million. I mean, what does $43,000 get you? This seems like a very untenable situation where, you know, so many people are just screwed out of so many things.
Yeah, because of these Democrat policies. But then my other question is, these people voted in these Democrats,
you're right,
who created the situation. And now at our federal tax dollars, I mean, check out your paycheck and look at all those taxes coming out. We have to pay for this now. They should be fired. The condition should be, okay, if you guys want more money, we're going to redo recall elections. You got to fire all these people. And once they're fired, then we the people will contribute. But I don't think that's fair. Why should all of us have to pay for the incompetence of the voters who put these Democrats in?
What we pay in taxes versus what we get in return. If it was a business where we were going and buying something as a consumer and what we got for the product we're paying for, we would never shop with you again.
Yeah. My next revolution is, you know, and he's sitting there, he's praising the firefighters and this and that. I think that we should be allowed to cut the salaries of all of these elected officials, which is ridiculous, to make 130, 107 at the Senate and House level, 170 G's for these jobs. But look at how much they make here in Pennsylvania. Look at how much they make in City Hall. We have population decline. Why do we still have all these council people? We need to reevaluate. Talk about DOGE. We need to reevaluate all these elected officials who make double and triple what our firefighters and our cops make. Mm-hmm. That is BS. Why are we putting up with that?
Agreed.
This is Cut 28. This Hispanic woman on TikTok says that Trump supporters are no longer allowed to eat Mexican food or go to Mexico because they voted for Trump.
Oh.
What?
All right. I guess, well, you know what? Girls, no Taco Tuesday tomorrow.
But, and let me make something absolutely clear, unless it wasn't already.
Okay.
If you voted for Trump,
okay,
you are not allowed in Mexico.
Okay.
You are not allowed in Cabos, Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Aguascalientes.
Nope.
None of that. Guess what, baby? That's all in Mexico.
Yeah.
You don't like us. We don't like you. Don't go there.
Mm.
Stay in your country.
Yeah.
Cool.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Vacation, I don't know. Maybe Nebraska, perhaps.
Yeah.
One of the red states that you love so much.
Yeah.
Stay there. Don't have margaritas. Don't have tequila.
Uh-oh.
No tacos. No enchiladas. Right. None of that for you. Stick to what you know. Maybe a burger, perhaps. No cheese.
No cheese.
By the way, what we eat here is not Mexican food. It's Tex-Mex.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
well,
like,
what?
Have you ever had a Mexican taco? It's trash.
Delicious.
No, it's trash.
Oh no,
it's absolute trash.
See, I think the authentic Mexican taco with steak meat, cilantro, and raw white onion, amazing.
Mm-hmm. No, I disagree.
Squeeze a little lime juice across it.
There
a little salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tequila.
Oh. Casamigos.
Tequila, I'll fight you over. But tequila is also, I mean, to your point, Casamigos, it's made here, isn't
it? Yeah. Yeah. Corona's made in Chicago, so it's...
This is, I just need to lighten it up a little bit here.
Yeah.
This federal employees...
Oh, and by the way, is she aware that how many people of Hispanic descent voted for Trump? I mean, like, to actually provide some beyond just the jokes we're making there about food and drinks. I mean, Trump, the numbers that he had with Latino voters...
Yeah.
I mean, my God. And that's okay. You don't want me to come to Mexico? Okay. I'll put myself under remain in America.
I don't want to go to Mexico anyway. It's a hideous country.
I don't want to go to Nebraska.
It's a beautiful place. No, it's not, just please. It's run by cartels.
Yeah. It's
a beautiful place with great food.
It's
and
corrupt.
Great people.
It's corrupt. But it's the water gives you diarrhea. And
diarrhea?
Not...
All right. Poll question. Would you rather go to vacation in Nebraska or Mexico?
Well, it depends on where in Nebraska and where.
I'm not
in
going
Mexico.
To Nebraska either. It's another hideous state.
Yeah.
I'm fine just staying here. Like, honestly,
you are.
I don't need
you
to go anywhere.
You do your little Poconos. Yeah. You do your little shore thing.
Yeah, I'm good.
You
I'm
got
good.
Your, you got your pool.
Everything you want is yeah. like is within 90 minutes from where I live.
Yep.
So I'm fine. I'm fine going to the Jersey Shore. I'm fine going to the Poconos.
There you go.
This
simple
federal,
life, right?
This federal employee is freaking out because she's going to have to work 5 days a week in person after Trump's EO.
You'll be okay, boo.
Roll it.
You guys, OPM last night published a memorandum that said that all federal employees have to work 5 days a week starting next week. It was dated yesterday, but I don't know how late it came out because, like, we would have found out about it sooner. No later than 5 p.m. on Friday, January 24th. That's tomorrow. They have to revise their telework policies. And telework policies, I'm pretty sure, get implemented, like, right away. It says agencies should advise OPM on the date of the agency will be in full compliance with the telework policy, so they get to report what they're going to do, which is, okay, that's good. But if an employee's official duty station is more than 50 miles away, so if anyone works fully remote for the government, like, they have to be moved or they have to move offices. That's crazy. Terminate remote work arrangements and require employees to return to in-person work at their respective duty stations on a full-time basis, provided that they make exceptions as they deem necessary. Unless excused due to disability, qualifying medical condition, or other compelling reason certified by the agency head or employee supervisor.
Mental health breakdown.
5 days a week in person.
What's she doing? Nice bowl cut.
She has nice fingernails.
Boy, life comes at you fast, huh? Sometimes you just have to remind yourself you're still an adult. Time to get back to work. But you know what? As much as I am all about getting people back into their workplace and away from their kitchen table and their laptop and the scam that they've been perpetrating on us for many years, on second thought, I don't know that I want people like that back in the workplace. You imagine encountering her at the coffee spot?
No.
In the kitchen here?
No.
Run.
You know how awkward that conversation would be?
Yeah.
Right? Either using the word like every three words.
By the way, I still have a ton more, but we should break again.
All right. We will come back. 9 o'clock hour on the way, which will include our morning mystery movie clip today in music history. And also, we are headed to the Super Bowl. Well, not us, really, but the Eagles are.
Eagles.
And we'll talk with Harry Mays at 9:30 about the Birds and the Chiefs, the rematch.
By the way, get on over to YouTube if you're not there already. I have a 1960 Philly tourism video.
Hey.
So from 1960, they were trying to get people to come to this. To the city of Philadelphia, and I have it.
Let me guess.
We'll do it on the other
side. Let
me
guess, yeah. Greg. Clean streets, well-dressed people, and no fatzos.
Well, what I'm saying is that we need to, we should do one for 2025.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, man on the street. We'll send Jimmy Kelly out after the show. Kale and Company, back after this. Stay right there.
Yeah, and we're talking about all this food on our YouTube chat. It's making me... very thankful that I have What a Crock and What a Crock Meals, whatacrock.com. You know by now that I love What a Crock Meals. Discovered them, by the way, in my little farmer's market years ago. And so started locally here by a mom who wanted to provide those fresh, homemade type of meals. And ever since, I've been hooked. They are just delicious and really do take the stress off of cooking and thinking about and worrying about what's for dinner, especially with long hours. What a Crock, they have tons of meals that do not require, by the way, a slow cooker. So you can boil the meals in the bag that they provide, just plop it. And I do this because sometimes I'll forget to have put it in my crock pot and my slow cooker in the morning. So I get home and I'm like, oh, darn it, I forgot to put, no problem. Then I can just take the bag out of the freezer that has arrived at my doorstep, just take it out of the freezer, plop it in that pot of boiling water, I'm good to go. So you can put it in an Instant Pot or on your stovetop. No problem. Still, no prep, no mess, and no stress needed to cook What a Crock's meal. Everything comes prepackaged and ready to go. No subscription or commitment is required. You can do a subscription, but you don't have to. What a Crock's meals, oh, they make such a great gift for anybody who could use a little help or a lot of help in the kitchen, or maybe make the mealtime more easy. Let's say people recovering from surgery or illness, new parents, they just had the baby, they don't have time to cook. What a great welcome gift, as well as college students, or maybe as a sorry for your loss. That one's a good one, too. Be sure to try their meals out from some of their new winter seasonal menus, like the classic homemade chili. I've told you their chilies. They have an array of chilies. They're the best. Creamy Swedish meatballs. Hearty beef burgundy is delicious. And the cheesy broccoli cheddar, that's a cheesy broccoli cheddar ale soup. Delish. Use promo code WPHT. You get $10 off your order at whatacrock.com. WPHT. Get $10 off your order. Whatacrock.com. Do this. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.